ushers come forward, comes from Acts as well as Ephesians. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Then from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended unto the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Let us sing together now. Thank you for your word, for your presence, and may you be with us once again as we look at your word and look into our hearts, Lord. May you speak to us where we are and bring us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I was looking through some stuff on the internet, of course. You know, that's where you find all your stuff these days, and all your information. Vance proves that in Sunday school every week. If it wasn't for the internet, I don't know what me and Vance would do, would we? We wouldn't have nothing to preach about, nothing to teach about. But I just reading over some of the things that people, the resolutions that people come up with and all, and I came up with some out of all that that I thought I might take to myself and do that. I'll just share a few of those with you. I will not tell the same story at every sermon I do for the coming year. I will do less laundry at home this year. I'll just use more detergent. If I see a UFO in the coming year, I won't tell anyone. I will go on less long ego trips this year. I will never again smack a man who's chewing tobacco. And I will remember that it isn't worth wrestling with pigs. You see, pigs get you all muddy, and they just love it the whole time. New Year gives us an opportunity to think about where we've been and where we might be going in the coming year. Gives us a time as Christians to refocus on what our calling is and how we reach that calling. And if you've already got your newsletter, I had my article was dealing with that very thing, and I kind of want to highlight some of the things that I said there and just didn't have enough time to talk about. But New Year's a time when we reevaluate, and when we have to, if we can't make a good effort on New Year's, as the new year comes, when will we ever be able to do it? There's no place better as Christians to begin our refocusing than to begin with the Scripture. Today I read two passages, one from Acts. Acts passage gives us that calling that we all have that's unique or that's common to us all. That we are called, folks, all of us as Christians are called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ in this world in which we have been placed. Whatever world it is that you operate in. I mean, we all operate on planet Earth, I hope. I haven't seen one of those UFOs. I haven't been taken to some extraterrestrial place or anything like that, I don't guess. If I did, they've given me some kind of mind-numbing stuff that I don't remember it. But we're in this world that we're in, the world that we operate in, the place that you work, the school that you go to, the home that you live in, the grocery store in which you shop, the world in which you live is the place you have been called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. You don't have to wonder if you've had that calling. You have. Believe it. The Scriptures tell us that. We are called, Jesus says, to be my witnesses. Witnesses for Him. We move on to the passage from Ephesians that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. And it gives us a how to do this. A three-step process there in the how to do it. Three things he says to do. That there's the equipping of the saints. In other words, that the people have to be taught how. That there has to be an educational process. That we don't just naturally know all of these things. We don't just walk into the church and say, I'm a Christian, and all of a sudden we know everything there is to know about everything. But it's an educational process that takes place. That there is an equipping. You are the saints. I'm not talking about St. Paul and St. Mary and St. Mark and St. Luke. I'm talking about each one of you. You are the saints of God, called by God, that God has ordained you and put you in this place to be His witness in the world. To do that, you have to be equipped. You can't go and do your job without the proper tools. And you have to be educated. You have to be trained. All of us. I'm not just the person that trained you. I mean, I am a teacher. Vance is a teacher. Sunday school teachers throughout our congregation. We're all teachers to each other in so many ways. And every time we have a Bible study of any kind, I learn from you, and hopefully you learn some from me. We are to train each other for the equipping of the saints is what Paul calls it. We have to practice that. And it's for the purpose the saints are equipped to do the work of ministry. In other words, we aren't just given empty information just so that we can have some certain amount of knowledge in our head that's impractical or unusable. We are given this knowledge, we are trained in such a way so that we can use it. What carpenter is there, and I mean by the trade carpenter, what carpenter is there that is given a hammer and a saw and nails that is of any value? Can he build anything until once he picks up his hammer and saw in his hand and makes use of it? There's not anything that he's any good for. He can't build a thing until he puts it to use, until he takes in his hand. There's something to do. You may have the knowledge of how to do it, but until you take hand to it, there is nothing you can do. To do the work, there's the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. And the third step of that is to build up, to edify the body of Christ. So in other words, you are trained for a purpose to do the ministry. And the ministry is what? To build up the body of Christ. To edify the body of Christ. It's not to build up Fred's bank account. It's not to build up Francis Asbury's bank account, but it is to build up the ministry, build up the body of Christ. Now, in our, my newsletter article. If you haven't read it, then you've got something to really look forward to. But if you have, you know where I'm coming from. You remember what I'm saying. There are four things, four goals. My goal for this church, my overarching goal for this church this year, is that every person becomes involved in ministry. Every person be involved in ministry. Now, I'm a realistic person also. I know that not every person that comes through these doors is going to get involved in some kind of ministry. But I believe that that's what we are called to do, that we are called to be involved in something. Paul is pretty plain, the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ. He is calling us to do that. My goal is that that happen in this church. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen this church do things. It has done things. I've heard the stories of this church over the history of it, of the things that have been done here, the things that have happened here. And when people set their mind to it, when the need is there, it always happens. The money always comes when there's a need for money. You'd probably be astounded. I don't know what it is off the top of my head. I would be astounded, I'm sure, of the thousands of dollars that this church has put out towards ministry and towards helping people and doing for others in the time that I've been here. It's in the tens of thousands of dollars, literally. And it continues to happen. Anytime the need is there, it happens. It takes everyone to be involved in the ministry. And I have four things that I want to look at this year. Four things that I'm going to talk about and four things that I'm going to focus upon myself. And I hope that you will join me in that, in seeing that we can become involved, every member, in ministry. First of all, is increased opportunity for worship and study. Now, you say, how in the world are we going to do more worship? How can we do that? We already have Wednesday night and we have Sunday morning. Well, you know what? When we do that, we've spent about 2 hours here a week, haven't we? Well, I come to Sunday school. Well, we spent 3 hours here. Well, I'm not fixing to start no Monday night worship service or anything like that. That's a little counterproductive, I think. But I'm talking about opportunities for us to come together. Next week is a perfect example for additional time for worship. On next Sunday, 2:30, we have the service out at the Villas, Pisgah Villas, at the Assisted Living. We've got George and Thelma Hall that are out there. Elvita Early is also out there now. We've got three people that are right there in that facility. We go every 8 weeks and have a worship service there. Lead the worship service. The choir is going to go next week and going to sing the cantata again. We're not going to do all the acting. Bat, you and Brian, don't worry. I just kind of saw that. We're just going to do the singing. We're just going to do the singing part. I'm sorry. Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm talking about. This is an extra opportunity to worship. We do this every 8 weeks, folks. Every 8 weeks. Now, that's not a whole lot. That means we'll do this about 6 times during 2010. Did I say that right? I did. I can't believe it. During this year, we'll do this about 6 times. And I'll tell you, it's about the same 10 of us that go out there every time. There's been a few extra here and there. When the children sang, we had more and all. But it's about the same few. Could you do that once this year? Could you do it once this year, go out there? And I'm going to tell you what, you don't have to do anything but just show up, and those folks just love having the company, having somebody else there, and it just says to those people out there that somebody cares about them. Have you got the chance? Do you have the opportunity? Do you have the time to give up one more hour somewhere along the line this year and go out there to one of those worship services? That's a perfect example. This coming Saturday, at the District Leadership Conference, I expect to see some of you folks there. Pick up one of those brochures and look at it and see what interests you. There's opportunities for training for the equipping of the saints. There's opportunities that you can learn some things there that I can't teach you, that I don't have the expertise on, and that I'm not been called to teach, and that I'm just not familiar with. There's opportunities for you to learn things, to become exposed to things that could possibly transform who you are, your relationship with Jesus Christ, the church in which we operate in the community in which we live. Opportunities for worship. Also, there's study times. We can do better at studying, believe me, all of us. That's one of my goals again this year. I took the year off last year from reading the Bible through in a year. I know a number of folks do that. Glenda, how many times did you say? How many years in a row now?
Six
years. We started this about the year after I came here, I guess. Some of us started doing that. You can get a very inexpensive Bible at the Christian bookstore. Sam's used to have them. I don't know if they still have them or not. That's through the Bible in a year. And it has the readings broke down day by day what you can read. Pick up. Have you ever, just, I'm asking you, you know, you don't have to raise your hands or anything like that. Have you ever read through the Bible front to back? Have you ever done that? I'm going to tell you what. It will change your life to read through the Bible like that. To read through it. And you can do it by spending about 10 to 15 minutes a day reading through it. What I'm proposing that we do, and I haven't set any times up about this, is that we do this as many as we could. I challenge every one of you to do it. And if you can, I'm gonna, if people are willing and want to, I'm going to set up two times. One during the week in the morning or early afternoon, that folks that you know, are retired and, you know, a little more leisurely than the workers of every day, they could come out. You can write down some notes about things that, you know, just pique your interest as you're reading through in the week's time, some questions that you have, insights that you may have, and we'll get together and we'll spend about 45 minutes or an hour just talking about those things, what we've read in the past week. And I'll do it in the evening as well for those who work. Those who can't get here during the day. If people are willing to do it, that's something that can make a difference in our lives. More opportunities for worship, more opportunities for study. The second focus that I have in us as a church meeting this lofty goal of every member involved in ministry is to minister to those in need. You know, we do that. We do it on a very good job of it. Can we do better? Absolutely. We need to continue the welcome table. It's been a great thing that has happened here in the last year. Daniel's not here. Did she put that in the newsletter? I haven't had a chance to look through the whole thing. The statistics about the welcome table, how many people have been fed this year and things like that. Well, thousands have been fed here at this church this year. And a lot of those people have got those meals, and they wouldn't have had a hot meal that day, I'm sure, if it hadn't have been for what was going on here, the people preparing. You know, it doesn't take a lot of time out of your schedule to come and serve for an hour on Wednesday, or to come on Tuesday afternoon and help peel some potatoes or whatever it is, make some tea and those kind of things. Do you have a little time somewhere in there that you can spend doing that? We need to be more involved in reaching out to those in need. And it's not just those who need the food, but there's the fellowship. We have a table of folks that come from Pole Creek Baptist Church, and they come every week, and they tell me that it's the highlight of their week to be able to get together and sit down and eat this meal. They're all senior citizens. There's several of them that are in pretty poor health, that come with walkers and one in a wheelchair sometimes. But they love the fellowship and they need that connection with other people. Have you got the opportunity? Do you have the time that you could put something into that? ABCCM. We took, on Tuesday morning, three huge loads of food to ABCCM. Three huge pickup truck loads of food. Plus the back of Glenda's van full of clothes and blankets and stuff like that. Enormous response. Thank you for that. God bless you for bringing food, giving money so that people won't go hungry in these next few months. But can we do more? You know, it's easy to pick up a It's easy to pick up a few cans of food or to write a check so that somebody can buy the food for you and give it out. But do you have any time that you can volunteer at ABCCM? They are constantly needing volunteers right here at Hominy Valley ABCCM. They need people that will just come in and just pick up, you know, just sort through some of the random groceries and food that has come through. It's not heavy stuff. It's sitting there on a table. You pick up the green beans out of this bag and you put them with the green beans on the shelf, that kind of thing. They need people that will go through the clothes that's brought in and sort it and put it in men's and women's, children, and the different sizes and such and such. Do you have the time that you could do that? You answer that question. What about Habitat? Habitat for Humanity. We've been involved with that ever since I've been here. And it's generally the same few that go. Do you have, could you take a day off somewhere along the line? Could you arrange your schedule to go and help build a house that otherwise, without this organization and without people willing to go and give a day's labor there, would never happen? That they would never have a home, that they would live in substandard housing, that they would constantly be in public housing and the difficulties that are there. Do you have that opportunity? Can you do more for those in need? The third thing is with our youth and children. We've got great people that are leading and teaching and doing our youth and children stuff. But folks, I'm going to tell you, when you see a crowd of children up here like we've had around here at Christmas and all, those children, unless there's things that engage them and draw them and bring them to this place, that it ain't going to be long before they don't come, because mamas and daddies, they get to that point, you know, and you can't force them to come, that they have to make that choice on their own. If we don't have things here at this church that will engage them and be intentional about it, not just say, oh, Dania and Angie have got the youth, we don't need to worry about that. Well, we do need to be concerned about it, and we need to see what ways we can support them, see what ways we can be better at it. I'll tell you, I'll just throw out a long-range plan here, a goal. It may not even be so long-range, but I want you to be thinking about this. Is that somewhere in the back of my mind, I have this vision that this church has a youth and children's minister. Not just somebody, that's just a volunteer, but a person who can coordinate and who can train and who can help those who lead and who teach our children and youth. When we got 25 and 30 children up here, folks, that's a quarter of this congregation's average worship. They need all our support, our prayers, and they need all the teaching and all the influence that the church can offer them. So there, I've said that and let that cat out of the bag. But think about that and pray about it and see if God leads you in that same direction. We do confirmation, and that's been a good experience and continues to be. We start back with that group next Sunday, and they'll be going through through Easter and then be receiving those young men and women into the membership of this church. Those are ways that we continue to engage, and our Sunday school has been wonderful in what it's done for our children and for our adults. You know, in 2008, our average Sunday school attendance was 48. This past year, our average Sunday school attendance was 57. And that sounds low, because every week it seems like we've got 65 and 70. But you see, the first two-thirds of the year, it wasn't near that. It was in the low 50s probably. But in the last 4 months of the year, our Sunday school attendance probably averaged, I didn't figure that specifically, figured up close to between 65 and 70 average. That's double what it was a few years ago. And it's all because of the children getting involved in Sunday school, teachers teaching our children, mamas and daddies coming and bringing their children to Sunday school and staying. And we still need a couple more Sunday school classes, folks. I got high ideals in mind, lofty goals. And the final thing is mission opportunities. And primarily for this year, what I'm thinking of is the mission trip to Costa Rica. We have 10 people in this church or affiliated with this church that have signed up to go on this mission trip. Folks, everything I've never been on a foreign mission trip. Nothing anywhere close to anything like that. I'm excited about going because everybody that I've talked to that's ever been on a mission trip such as this, it's been a life-changing experience because you just see the world and you see how Christ is operating, you know, in a worldwide sense, that it's not just right here in Candler, North Carolina, that people worship Jesus Christ. It's not just right here in the South that people worship Jesus Christ, but that Christ is much larger than we could ever imagine Him to be, and that He encompasses all the world, and that He is at work in all corners of the world. Everybody says that it's a life-changing experience, and I'm praying and hoping that it will be for all of us going, and that when we come back, that'll be able to be transferred into the people with the enthusiasm that comes back with us. Now, does that say that you can't be involved with the mission trip? Absolutely you can be involved with it. You can be involved with it by contributing towards it, supporting the fundraising events. You can be involved with it by praying for this. Put it on your prayer list, on your list that you have and people that you pray for. Put it there and pray for the Costa Rica mission trip. That God's presence will just overwhelm those involved with it. Now, that's the four things that I've kind of brainstormed up and come up with there. It's a lofty goal, lofty expectation. But I tell you what, folks, if you can't reach high, I mean, when you're talking about the church and Jesus Christ, don't expect the minimum amount. Reach for the most that you possibly can. Remember, we are called to be His witnesses. Jesus said, "Be my witnesses in all the world." Paul talks about how we do this by equipping the saints to do the work of ministry to edify the body of Christ. Every one of us involved in ministry, folks. Each and every one of us. Can you do that this year? Is there something in this church that's going on that you can become involved with in a very meaningful way? And if there's not, then I challenge you to find something. To see a need. If there's a place that God is leading you, an area of ministry that God is leading you, then by all means, you have my support and my encouragement to do that. And let's see how we can help you as a church body. Every member involved in ministry. Increased opportunities for worship and study. Ministry to those in need. Ministry with our youth and children. And mission opportunities. It's a new year. It's time to refocus. It's time to put Christ back in the place that He deserves in our lives. In the place of honor, the first place, the highest priority. Today, as we close our service with communion, we are called to remember that Jesus had a personal relationship with those around Him. And that same personal relationship that He had with them, He desires with you. Nothing that we can do as a church on our own will ever prosper, will ever be of any eternal benefit, but everything that we do in the name of Jesus Christ will bring forth fruit according to His plan.